What the Tech is brought to you by TextExpander. TextExpander helps you communicate smarter. Visit TextExpander.com/podcast for 20% off your first year. Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm a very exhausted Andrew Zarian. Of course, I'm joined by Paul Thorod. How you doing, Paul?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Hanging in.
All things considered, yeah.
What week are we in this quarantine?
Week six we're going into for us.
Week six. Yeah, so it's about the same for us. So 6 weeks. I actually had an extra week because I got very sick. So I'm on week seven of not doing anything. And, you know, I kind of want to talk about this because it's going to play a part into some of the stuff later on we're going to talk about. Like, I've picked up because I'm trying to just keep myself busy when I'm not trying to throw myself off the roof because of the kids. But I started doing some like tech stuff in the house that I haven't in a while. Like I said, repairing a bunch of laptops and computers. I'm giving away a bunch of stuff, which we're going to talk about later. But it just the things that we do to keep sane are fascinating. Other than drinking, today I'm having a glass of wine with you guys. So cheers to the ones listening to this podcast and having a glass of wine or beer or whatever you're drinking. I've been really good on the day drinking. I didn't want to start early, so like Jess and I, we pretty much finish our day at 5 or 4 with the work that we're doing. So we'll have a glass of wine together today. I've given up. Today, there's no hope. So today, we're going to drink. So cheers, Paul. This is how we're starting.
I have not resorted to day drinking. At least I will give myself that much credit. But I don't have small kids.
No. You would have resorted to a lot of things with the kids.
I deal with the small kids that are on Twitter and comment section of my website.
It's pretty close.
A different kind of pressure,
So we do have a lot to talk about today. There was an iPhone announcement last week, which we spoke about. John Prosser was right. Good on John. Kudos to him once again. Hit the nail on the head on that. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. Obviously, there was a OnePlus announcement, which I know that you tweeted about and you were posting on your website. So do you want to begin with the OnePlus stuff? Because I found that interesting. You know, for a company that was so inexpensive when it first launched, it's become a expensive product.
The OnePlus has, it's you know, so I've been using the OnePlus 8 Pro since last week, and I think about this almost every time I pick it up. I'm trying to understand where this thing fits, because it is
in regards very to much, what?
Well, you know, OnePlus always filled a very special role where they delivered flagship specs at much lower prices than the market leaders, right? So I almost said Sony. Apple and Samsung, obviously their phones are very expensive. Google's are too, with the exception of the 3A line. And these guys deliver phones that have the same specs or better for a lot less money, or they used to. They're still less expensive than the highest end Samsungs, the highest end Apples, for sure. They're about as expensive as the Google stuff is when they're at their normal prices. Actually, the Google stuff is on sale right now, which is kind of interesting. So, you know, I don't know what to make of that. It deserves to be in the same conversation. It is that good of a phone. I'm coming around to the notion that the OnePlus version of Android might literally be the very best version of Android. It can be customized in so many ways.
Oxygen OS.
Yeah, it is awesome. And interesting. It's almost too awesome, and what I mean by that is there's almost too much. You could spend days just going through the settings app, looking at every little, going into every menu. I mean, you can customize everything on this phone.
I got a piece of trivia for you while you're talking about that. Before they went to, I believe it's called Oxygen OS, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you remember what they were using? And it caused an uproar that they left this platform.
Oh, this sounds vaguely familiar.
People were very upset.
They were using Was it a? You're talking about like a launcher, not a Android version. Like a...
It was essentially the launcher. It was the Android platform that had all the customization or whatever it was.
Yeah. I don't. Although I feel like when you say what it is, I'm going to remember it.
Cyanogen.
Cyanogen, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
People were very upset when they went to Oxygen, and when I first used Oxygen on whatever the following phone was that had it, I was actually very impressed by it. And you're going back years, you know, when they originally went over to Oxygen. That's been one piece of information about this phone. Because, listen, we could talk about hardware, and we could talk about specs, and we could talk about pricing, but the operating system matters, especially the...
Oh, no, it matters so much.
...of the ROM.
So it's kind of a hard thing to describe quickly because there's so much to it, but... You know, the look and the feel, just like what we think of as the launcher, is has got all kinds of customization capabilities. You can change everything. You can download, you know, icon packs, and you know, they let you customize the shape of icons up in the notification shade as well as on the home screen. It kind of goes on and on and on. They have special apps and special modes for all kinds of different things. They have a True Tone style display feature. They have a reading mode feature that they've had for years that kind of grays the screen down.
What is a reading mode do?
There's two ways it can work, but it basically grayscales the screen. So what you do is you say, well, I want these apps to always be in this mode. So like the Amazon Kindle app, the Pocket app, you know, whatever it might be. And when you go into that app, it decolorizes the screen, which makes it easier on your eyes, I guess. And then it's a really cool effect when you leave that app and go back to the home screen or whatever, the color fades back in, you know, in a nice little animation.
Yeah,
it's really nice. So there's that aspect to it. The software, they have unique hardware features still. Like they have that switch on the side that goes between the different, like not notification. I'm just going to switch it because it gives you a little prompt. Yeah, between vibrate and silent and ring. So it's like a hardware switch you can actually flick to kind of do that stuff, which I really like. The hardware is all, you know, premium quality, beautiful to look at, beautiful to hold, you know, really nicely done. And then the big question mark for me, of course, is the camera system. And It's funny. I don't typically do this, but I've been, you know, mostly kind of underwhelmed, frankly,
with the camera.
It has an ultra wide, a wide normal, and then like a telephoto lens. Telephoto is not true optical. It's kind of a weird thing they always do. It's basically 3x. It's really hybrid, and then I think it's probably 30x on digital zoom.
Yeah, I believe it's a 48 megapixel wide main camera. Then it's the OIS and
48 megapixel
EIS.
Ultra wide.
Yeah, which the ultra wide, I believe it's 120 degree
that's
field
exactly
of view.
Right. Yeah, okay. And it's up from 116 on the previous version. So the big difference here between now and the previous phones is that ultra wide is now 48. I think the previous one might have been 16. It was much lower quality, but it does. By default, you're doing pixel binning. It's really 12 megapixels of quality, but you get a better sharpness and more light, and you know, better overall quality. I think it's the best way to put it. It is a step up from the previous OnePlus phones. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know, they fall
in a weird category, right? I mean, if we're looking at what OnePlus does, because they are presenting themselves or positioning themselves as a flagship. That's their goal. They're no longer a inexpensive mid-range phone. So when you have a phone, I believe starting price is $699, which is still, listen, especially in these times when you say it's affordable, right? You kind of come off like a dick a little bit. But in the grand scheme of things, let's ignore the fact that 22 million people are out of work. $699 is semi-affordable for a higher-end flagship device when you compare it to the $1,200 that you're paying for an iPhone.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. So if you look at the like the one that I'm using right now, the Pro is, I think, what's the starting price on that? $799 maybe, or higher. It's up there.
Yeah.
You know, no, it gets close to $1,000.
$699
for the Pro.
OnePlus. Oh no, the 8 begins at $699. Yeah.
Yeah, no, so but Pro, I mean the 8 Pro is possibly $899. I think.
Yeah, $200 more.
Now, That's what makes the conversation difficult. Well, that and the phone, the camera thing. But I guess what you're going to compare this to is an S20 something Ultra, yeah. Maybe. I mean, that yeah. phone is what, $1,300. I mean, you should never pay that much, but you know, like you said, the iPhone Max, whatever the 11 Pro Max is, what, $1,200, something like that, $1,150. I don't remember.
$1,290, okay. Something, whatever it is, $1,190, yeah, 12. I mean, at that point, you're paying a tremendous amount.
Yeah, so you would still save money by buying this phone compared to those phones. I guess the question is, does anyone need those phones? I mean, and if you are going to spend $900, $1,000, whatever, is OnePlus a brand that you know and trust? I happen to love the brand. I like the vibe of the company. I like their kind of community feedback driven thing. The hardware, software has always been excellent. Still is. It's fantastic. Yeah. Like I said, the OS might literally be the best. The camera system is, it's good, you know, but this is the thing. So I've started looking at reviews because, and again, I don't normally do this, but I want to know what other people are saying about the camera system. And I've looked at some video comparisons between this phone and its predecessor. Yeah, this phone is universally better. That doesn't surprise me. And some people seem to think it's fantastic. I don't think it's fantastic. It's
when,
not
when you're doing a comparison, right? Like in your yeah. head or when you're comparing yep. it just for your view, right? Not doing like an analytical study of image next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you, I'm not analyzing pixels and
yeah. You know. Where do you put this? Like if you were to put it, if the iPhone is yep. not the best camera, right? We know that Huawei.
No, but you know what? The iPhone is near the top now, and that wasn't true for a long, long time. And they made a big leap with the latest generation. So I would say the iPhone is near the top. Everyone has things that they like or want to see in a camera system. So I would say overall, for me, with the exception of the fact that it doesn't have ultra wide, the picture quality, and this is true across like night mode, zoom, which is crazy because they don't really have much of the way of optical zoom, just standard shots, the Pixel 4 XL is the best, like to me. Mainstream phone,
Pixel 4 XL, mainstream availability. That's the best phone you've used.
But there's an asterisk because they don't have an ultra wide camera. And I got to tell you, I really miss it when I don't have it. And so phones like all the modern Samsungs, all the modern iPhones, all the modern OnePluses have this ultra wide shooting mode, and I love it. Like I love it. There is no doubt. My wife and I did side by side shots. She's using now the S20 Ultra. On Verizon, and I'm using, you know, I was using the OnePlus, and you know, not night mode, but nighttime shots with nice color backdrops. The Samsung is way better. Yeah. It's immediately noticeable. And that's, you know, that dulls it a little for me. It's too bad because unfortunately for me, like camera is like job one. This thing does everything else perfectly. Everything else.
So if you guys want a really detailed comparison, I don't know if you saw this one, Paul, boredatwork.com on YouTube. It's BOORED at work.com. They have a very detailed comparison between the OnePlus 8 Pro, the Galaxy S20 Ultra, the Huawei P40, and the iPhone 11 Pro Max. He does a comparison with the front-facing and the rear-facing cameras. You know, I'm going to tell you, they're all really good. But
see, this fascinates me, though, because, again, like I have looked at these things and I see other people with the same handset and they take pictures and they compare them to other cameras. And it's like these look really good. And what I'm saying is I don't see this. Like, one of the issues I have with the iPhone camera, the 11 Pro Max, is that they don't really do much with HDR. So the shots tend to be kind of dull. Mm-hmm. And they're probably maybe more realistic to real life or whatever, but I like a little color pop, just a little. I think that Google does the best job of that photography, FAUX, you know, where, you know, you're getting a little pop, but it doesn't make it look surreal.
Yeah. You know, like it does a little aperture. Like, it does the bokeh effect. It's just a little color pop.
If you went into Photoshop and you adjusted the color, and you had a grid, and the original was in the middle. And if you went to the right, it would just be a little color pop. That's where Google is. right? If you move one more from that, that's where Samsung is. And if you move all the way to the end, that's where Huawei is. And the interesting thing about the Huawei bit is I actually personally happen to like that effect. And you know, when we go last summer, when we were in Amsterdam or the Netherlands last summer, and when we were in Sweden the summer before, even though I wasn't using a Huawei as my primary phone day to day, when I was on those trips, I did use the Huawei because I wanted to take the photos of the trip with that camera, and they're beautiful. And I had many trips last year where I did this. We went to DC a couple of times. I don't remember all the trips I went on. We don't go on trips anymore. It doesn't matter. But like, it's interesting to me about me that when it matters, I actually do use the Huawei. Now, the problem with the Huawei phones and with the P40 that you just mentioned in particular is now they don't even come with Google Apps. And it's like, I have no interest. I can't deal with that. That's too bad. But
it really also comes down to personal preference, like you said, right? Mm-hmm. The personal preference of the image. If you are a photography expert, you will see certain things that other people won't. It's the same with audio for me. It's the same with video for me. I've been doing this for so long. I know when something doesn't sound good. There are so many shows that, Paul, you and I do, and I'm like, holy crap, the audio sucked. And then nobody else hears it other than me. That's because this is what I do for a living, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at a photo right now. This is a great example. The Huawei P40 Pro versus the iPhone 11 Pro Max. I'm looking at this photo. Both photos are really good. But I prefer the darker look of the Huawei P40 with the exposure. The Huawei and also the Galaxy, let me just tell you that. The Galaxy S20 Ultra tends to darken images while the iPhone brightens.
To me, and that brightening dulls it out.
It dulls it out,
I'm oversimplifying it because I don't really know the terms and maybe they don't matter, but there's an HDR effect that adds contrast and it adds a color pop that Huawei does more than anybody. I'd say Samsung's the next one down and then Google. And then there's the midline, and I think Apple is probably really in the middle, but I think of them as being below that. It's too easy to just take a snapshot with an iPhone and get a blown out image. You have to really play with it. So, and you can do something with the darkness slider and all that stuff. You can play with it, but I'm just talking about, oh my God, look, something happened. Click. It's a weird thing to say, but I mean, well, I already said it. I mean, when I go on a trip, like I want the Huawei, like I know that one's going to work. It's not perfect. I mean, there are focus issues with some of these camera phones. The Huawei has focus issues for sure. They all have issues. So anyway, one thing I will say about this phone that I've not experienced, but I've seen this multiple times in video reviews of it, is when you have like an optical image stabilization and electronic image stabilization on video, and you kind of combine them to get what we'll call like a hybrid image stabilization, what you get is a gimbal-like effect when you're just holding the phone. Mm. So if you were walking down the street, the park or whatever, and you're just holding the phone in front, you know, you're walking, you've got that kind of natural bounce to your step, whatever it is. It gets exaggerated in the phone because you hold, you know, your arm is not very steady. And the video you get, you know, back in the day was always like this, it looked terrible. And a lot of guys have taken these shots, videos, I should say, with the super steady mode. It's only in 1080p, whatever, but it looks like you're on a gimbal.
Interesting. You know? Really?
Yeah. And you got to remember, like for people who are making like Hollywood movies, they didn't even have a gimbal until like what, the 1970s or something?
Yeah.
Like when did these things come into a play? Like it was Steadicam shots?
Mid to late 70s.
Something like that, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we in our little smartphones have this ability to, you know, walk around like I would, like Bigfoot walking around, and the shot is just tracked.
Do you remember when they shot, I think it was an episode of House, Dr. House, they shot it on an iPhone? Something, and it was a big deal that they were able to do this, and they were wondering, I think it might have been like an iPhone 4 they shot some scenes on, and it looked remarkable, right? They were able to get this really well, and they were showing the gimbal, essentially, you know, that steady, you know, whatever it is now, the steady ones, and they were using at the time, going back 10 years ago, right? And people are blown away that, oh my God, with this
when
device,
you
can make this
thing. Yeah,
it looks really good. You don't even need to with these. You
That's
don't even
what I'm
need
saying.
A gimbal.
So, I mean, even right, even within. So I've been at Therat.com for 5 years. If you go back in time 2 or 3 years ago, Brad would walk around on these trips that we were on, and he used an iPhone in a hand gimbal. So it's a, you know, it looks like a little unipod. Is that the right word? Like a unipod?
A unipod.
A tripod, but with one arm.
Yes.
But, you know, the phone is suspended in this, you know, U-bracket, and it you know, works like a shock absorber or whatever. Basically, you know, you can move it up and down and around, and that thing sits there in the middle and stays, you know, it's a gimbal. So we would use something like that. What I'm saying is, like, you know, if you bought a new phone, depending on the phone, you wouldn't even need that. I mean, that's yeah. – it's amazing. So that stuff's amazing.
I'm looking at some night mode shots. However,
yeah.
So here's where it falls apart when I'm looking at
this.
But again, I'm using this as a reference. It's boardatwork.com. I don't even know the guy. I just clicked on it. He has a very nice real world testing, and the way that I know that it's real world, he does a lot of vertical shots.
Yep.
So you can kind of tell that he's kind of experiencing like the real world. Right now, the OnePlus 8 Pro in low light, ultra wide. Right, like you're talking about outdoor versus the S20 Ultra. The S20 Ultra blows it away. I mean, not even comparable at the shot.
So that's interesting because I don't actually like the night mode on the Samsung.
Okay, but the P40,
I understand.
The worst one seems to be the iPhone Pro, the Pro Max. Yeah.
I mean, the iPhone to me night mode is fine, but again, you know, Google does the best job there. It's just. And it was interesting because I went back this spring. I should mention too, since I don't know February, I went back and reused the phones that I liked the most from last year in turn. So I spent a couple of weeks with the Pixel 3a XL, the iPhone 11 Pro Max, Samsung I got new, the S20 Ultra, Pixel 4, the OnePlus 7T. You know, and it was interesting. I mean, they all have their pluses and minuses. I will say going back to the Google phone and just taking pictures, I was like, oh God, right. This thing is so nice, you know, but no ultra wide. If that thing had ultra wide, I would never look back.
So 1 to 10, 10 being, I guess the 10 being the best camera phone experience that you've used, right? Which you're saying is the Pixel.
Yeah.
Where do you put it?
So, the problem is you can't just give it a number. You kind of give it numbers for different things. And I know it adds up to a number, but the Pixel would be like a 9. But it's missing ultra wide anything. And that, to me, brings it down a notch. The iPhone, I think most people would be pleased with it. The S20, whatever. I had the Ultra. I think most people would be fine with it. I understand what Samsung's trying to do with night mode. It's not what I want, but I think it is what most people want. What most people would want is it's a birthday party. You're in a bar or restaurant. You want to take a picture of whatever it is, a group of people, a thing. You don't want a huge flash to go off. And the Samsung shot lights that thing up like it's a flash.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's not what I want. I've taken beautiful night mode shots that don't blow everything out. And I prefer that. And so the Google does a better job. I think the Apple does as well, but you know, whatever. So I guess what I would say, I don't know scores, but, and then the Huawei thing, I kind of don't put the Huawei in the list because I don't think anyone should ever buy
it. It's unusable.
But I have one and I love it. And I don't know where that fits. It's an 8 or a 9 as well. So Google and Huawei, Samsung, Apple, and they're close. And then everything else. And, you know, unfortunately for this one, the 8 Pro is absolutely better than the 7T or the 7 Pro that came out last year. But it's still not to me. And I'm still using it. I mean, look, I'm going to take more pictures. I'm going to keep testing it. But, you know, last Friday night, my wife and I went in the sunroom. It's dark. We're playing music. We got the colored lights going and everything. My wife's making cocktails. We're trying to take pictures of the drinks. I'm like, you got to turn on the lights. I can't. This thing can't take a picture of this in the dark. It's useless. And her camera was like, click, no problem, you know? And if I was using a different camera, it would have been fine. It's just, this thing is, it just couldn't do it.
Interesting. Yeah.
Disappointing.
So I do want to continue talking about phones because obviously the iPhone SE, I guess SE 2 is the big discussion here.
Isn't
which
it really the SE 3?
Is it the SE 3?
I know people are saying SE 2, but there were really two versions of the SE.
There were two SEs. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Let's just go with SE.
Anyway, I think they say two. Well, the reason they say two is the other two SEs were the same body style.
Yes.
This one, they've changed the body style. That's the two. But I don't know. To me, it's the third one. But
let's go with the third one. Before we go into that, I want to thank a super chat user, Don, in our chat room, $1.99 right there. Listen, we're doing the show ad-free today. And the way you could help out, since we're doing a show ad-free, you could join our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthetech. You could join us there. Fund us as little as $1 per episode. Helps us along when we do the show. You can fund us $1. You can fund us $2. We do the bonus content called What the Talk that we do each and every week following the show. Another way you could help us out is by hitting the Super Chat button when we're live. You could hit the Super Chat and donate whatever you want. Don, thank you again for the $1.99. We live in an amazing time. Amazing time. Listen, I'm 2 days away from setting up an OnlyFans account. I'm just letting you guys know. I'm at that point at this point. Did I tell you the whole thing on Mat Men that I did? That I was bidding on Enchanté photos? Do you know about Enchanté or no? Have I not filled you in on this guy?
No, I don't think so.
Enchanté is one of my alter egos, my wrestling character. He's very flamboyant, a little effeminate, and when you tag him, he faints. He goes, oh, and he faints. So people started photoshopping photos of me as Enchanté in different scenarios. Some became very vulgar. I didn't care. I was selling all of them. People had possession of these photos at this point. We made $680 that night. So I had become a glorified cam girl, which I'm okay with. This is a new world. This is a new America. This is the direction we're going. If you push it, I'm going to start selling Photoshop photos of Paul. That's where we're going to next.
Wow.
If this economy does not recover, that's where we're headed. Paul and I are going to have an OnlyFans account, all Photoshopped images, maybe some real. We'll let you decide. I'm just letting you know. Let's talk about the iPhone SE. So $399. It's an iPhone. It's not an old iPhone. It's a new iPhone.
Well,
I'm just
hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a new iPhone internally.
Internally,
it is very much an old iPhone externally.
Externally, yes. Right. Internally, it's a new iPhone. So and we're looking at
that's an interesting dynamic. I would say
some people want the fingerprint reader, right? They want.
They shouldn't. You know what? They shouldn't. If you've ever used Face ID, you would understand that it is the very best way to sign into a phone.
It takes you 3 days to adjust totally. So we're looking at...
No, but once you have it and you go back and you use a fingerprint reader, which is terrible, or you use a system on an Android phone, they're all terrible. It's like, it's just, honestly, Face ID is amazing. It's the one thing they get absolutely
right. So you're getting
right.
$399. It's a 4.7-inch display, so it's much smaller when you compare it to the current line. It's a 1334 by 750, I think. Resolution, which is 326 ppi. Do you remember they used to that was a big thing for them, the ppi,
right? And originally, then they no longer had the highest and now they don't talk about it
so anymore. They don't talk about it. True tone display, yada yada yada, yeah. The brightness, all that stuff, but it has an A13 chip, which is a new chip,
right?
It's not something, you know, three gens behind. You have 12 megapixel wide camera, digital zoom up to 5x. Standard iPhone specs for 4K video in 24 frames, 30 frames, or 60 frames, 1080p HD, 720 recording. It's a pretty high end.
It's pretty
device.
Good for what it is. Yeah. And the fact that Apple makes it, I think, is what makes it kind of amazing. So, you know, let's say $449 for a version with 128 gigs of storage.
Do you need 128 gigs? That's a good question, too.
What's that?
Do you need 128 gigs?
I do, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even one, let's say 64, right? Because, actually, no, I have
$400.
$400.
Yeah, no, look, my son right now, for example, is using an iPhone 8, right? So it's the same body, same phone.
Yeah.
I mean, older insides, right? He has asked my wife about an upgrade, and my wife basically said, "You're 20." Well, now he's 22, but you're 21 years old.
That.
Your next upgrade is on you, you know. But if he came to me, is he a college student, right? So he doesn't have a lot of money. And if he came and said, look, my phone just died. I don't know what's going on. I'd be like, look, let's just get him the iPhone. Get him the iPhone SE. He can have that. It's fine. I'd go up to 128 gigs. Like I would do that for him.
Yeah.
But I guess what I would say to people who are considering this, by the way, I think they're going to sell millions of these things. I know it's an economic downturn because of the coronavirus and yada, yada, yada. But in the context of what's happening in the world, I think this phone is going to go gangbusters. Just like the iPad took off again after they lowered the price, I think this is really going to help the iPhone.
It took off tremendously.
Yeah. That said, I would ask people who are considering this to really think about a couple of things. The entry price for an iPhone XR or whatever, or what are they calling it? 11, I guess. Yeah. The iPhone 11, which is more of a, it's not a full edge-to-edge screen. It's an LCD screen, which compared to the high-end phones is kind of, you know, not as good, but compared to the thing we're talking about is fine. It is an LCD, it's just fine. It has a notch, so it's more, you know, the screen is much bigger. It has the same modern internals. It has a better camera system. It is the type of thing that you could argue would be something you might use longer than this little phone. Unless you absolutely love the little phone, but I mean, it's a much more modern design on the 11. So what's the starting price of an iPhone 11 these days?
$699.
Yep. So $699 is $200 more than the SE.
$300 more. Yeah. $399. Okay. So SE is $399. The XR, the 10R, yep. I guess. Let's call it a 10R. It's $599.
Yeah, but that's a year old. That's a year and a half old or whatever.
The 11 is $699. Yep. The 11 Pro is $999.
Yeah, but those are the two things I think you need to compare. I know it's more money. But I think the SE is like a lot of things. You know, it kind of gets you in the showroom. Not that you can go to any showrooms today, but it gets you looking. But I think for most people, unless it is, like you said, for a child or something, my God, who cares? But if it's you and you're an adult and you actually are on your phone every day, you might want to consider a bigger screen, a more modern design, a better camera, you know, and just think about it. And by the way, that I guess the iPhone 11 must come with 64 gig to start, which is ridiculous, but whatever.
I think this is the best value for a phone on the market. I mean, this is probably, want to say like the best phone to buy. This is it. If you incorporate the cost and the price and the ecosystem and the specs, this is the one. $400 you're paying. A lot of people are going to trade in devices.
Yeah. Think
of that.
It's just such a, it is. But, you know, it's like that asterisk thing. I mean, when did this design debut? 2014 or something, or 2016? Like, when did the iPhone 6 come out? Like, that phone is that old, like the design of it, you know? You don't get Touch ID, or you do get Touch ID, not Face ID, like I said. I just, you know, look, I they're going to sell, these things are going to sell well. There's going to be a market for this.
Let's see.
But, you know, I do this, you know, when you buy like an iPad, if you're used to an iPhone, a modern iPhone, and you go to an iPad and you have to use Touch ID again, you're like, oh, what is this? Yeah. Like, it's weird, you know?
I mean, if you have an iPhone 7 Plus, you got $150 towards it. You're paying, what, $230 now for this device? You know what? Brand new phone.
You're getting a much smaller phone, right? Because that's a plus.
That's a plus, yeah.
That's the other thing. I kind of wish, you know, this would be a little easier to swallow in some ways if they had a plus size version of it. And I know that it's weird. There are people pushing or calling for Apple to make even smaller phones. Like, they should go back to the iPhone 5S design, I guess. Guys, come on. Like, it's... Yeah, you know, so you look at those phones, they look like little, it's like you're looking at a little postage stamp. It's like an iPad, you know, iPod Nano or something. Like, I think we've moved on from that, you know, even for a child. You've seen your kids on iPads and computer screens and stuff. That your kid doesn't want a phone that's like this big.
No.
They want a phone.
It's interesting. I mean, the release of this device at the time that it came out, I think for Apple's sake, it was actually perfect timing considering... You know, a lot of people are going to be thinking about disposable income anyway, and things. Yeah. Here's what I see with this. This is opening up a whole world for Apple that they normally would not have entered, right? I think this is really tapping into the Samsung market where, again, nobody's buying. When we talk about the $399 for the phone, nobody's buying that phone at $399. Nobody's going in and being, I mean, when I say nobody, again, very little people do this. Most people say, how much is it a month? The iPhone is like 48. Oh, yeah, I pay like $48 a month for my iPhone on my plan. That's another line. This phone, I believe, if you trade in a phone, it's like $8 a month extra. If you don't trade it in, I think it's like $16 a month.
Right.
That's, to me, that's a decision that's easy to make if I'm buying this phone and I'm not looking to buy, spend $1,000. If it's between Samsung, and again, I'm not talking about someone that's a tech enthusiast that likes the Android ecosystem. I'm saying dad, grandma, you know, your kids, this is the way to go.
Yeah. So, right. So Samsung makes, I don't know what they're called anymore, J series, A series, whatever phones that are probably in this general range. If you're looking at something like that, unless it's about screen size, I think I'd pick the iPhone every time. And it's such a safe bet. It's such a reliable device. It is going to last for years. You touched on something that I think is an important point, that because of what's going on in the world, people are losing their jobs, or they're being furloughed, or there's great uncertainty, whatever it is. And now is not the time to be spending $1,000 on a phone, which is one of the things about this OnePlus that's kind of a little weird. Like, it's really bad timing for those guys to jack prices up. But if you're trying to be more pragmatic about things and you're trying to save money and you're looking at the big picture and maybe you're reevaluating things a little bit, like maybe you used to spend money on superfluous stuff and not worry about it. Now you're like, you know what? Life is uncertain. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. I mean, I'd have a hard time with it personally because of the size, but I like where it landed. I mean,
this may start a rethinking process. By the way, Roland in our chat had a great point on this. He said, you know, in a couple of months, this device is most likely going to end up becoming free on a lot of carriers. It's going to be a free phone. Sure. And they're going to start doing, you know, let's say T-Mobile, for example, which they do this. Get an iPhone SE. We'll give you another one.
We'll get one for free. Yeah, for sure. And that will be awesome for families. You know, that might be a time, you know, your kids are still very young, but at some point you're going to be like, you know, this actually kind of makes sense. Get one for each of the kids and they have their own thing that they can play with at little or no cost to me. They're just a part of the plan. I mean, they're going to be using it in the house on Wi-Fi anyway. Who cares, you know? They couldn't have planned it unless we find out Apple caused the coronavirus, which, let's face it, I think we can all agree is a possibility. you know, they couldn't have planned it. So it worked out, you know, nicely. Google is going to have a new low-end phone, which looks mostly kind of crappy. But Google also is rumored to be maybe not making true flagships for their main line of phones. So when the Pixel 5 comes out. Yeah, and that's, I think, I always, you know, when I heard that, I thought that's smart because they really can't compete with the $1,000 Samsungs and iPhones. They should be making cheaper devices. So we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, this is the sweet spot of the market. I mean, for all the talk about like Samsung S20, blah, 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 whatever, if you look at their portfolio, if you could look at it, what you would find is the vast majority of phones that they sell are the mid-level, low-end phones. Because they sell those in such volume. That's why they're the number one smartphone maker in the world. And now Apple is going to get a piece of that pie. You know, who knows how this could turn out? I mean, Apple might find itself vaulting to the top again.
So Alex in our chat room says he has an iPhone 6S. Do you think he should upgrade?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a very natural. Yeah, my brother, same thing. He has a 6S Plus that's shattered, and he's like, I don't really care for it to be that big. I'm like, dude, this is a great thing.
The size is the one thing I'd have trouble with, but I get it. Like, and
you're a large man, Paul. You got baseball mitts as hands.
Yes, but you know, even for me, I mean, some of the bigger screens, like one of the problems I have with the OnePlus, because it still has that kind of curved screen edge. When you hold the thing in your hand and you reach across it to kind of stretch a bit to hit an icon that you can kind of just barely do with one hand, you know, your palm goes over the screen. Yeah. And then there's a misclick and you launch the camera app or whatever you're doing, you know. So there is that issue. I mean, I get the appeal of a phone you can actually use with a single hand. Most people aren't as freakishly large as I am. I mean, I'm also middle-aged. I have bad eyesight. I mean, for me to use like a phone with a screen that small, I'd have to be like, wear.
You're always youthful to me.
Cheater glasses. What's that?
You're always going to be youthful to me.
Yeah, right. Well, I get bad news for you, Andrew. That's not really the way it works. But
dude, I was 25 when we started doing the show. I'm 36. I'm going to be 36.
Yeah, I think I was also 25, and now I'm 53.
Yeah. I was a baby. Now I'm old. I'm feeling every bit of it. No, I listen, for me, this is probably, and this isn't picking a side, okay? I'm not picking the Apple side. I'm not picking the Android side. But this is the best phone on the market. When this phone comes out, this is the best phone for you to buy. As far as most bang for your buck, comes with a pretty, really good camera. The camera's solid. The specs are great.
I don't know what to say about the camera. I don't know, but I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, it's going to be.
You're not
going to
get ultra wide and night mode, and you know all that stuff. You don't get a true tone screen. It's all this stuff, but yes, I mean as a phone that's just going to show up and work and have no issues. It's a proven design. It's really funny. Like when the iPhone 6 debuted, people found that design to be very bland. Remember, they had gone from the iconic iPhone 4 style thing with that Leica style, exterior band that caused attenuation, and everyone thought that thing was so bland. I always thought it was kind of fine. It was fine, you know.
Well, apparently they're going back to the square body again.
Yes, right. Which I think is fine.
Yeah, I look at the iPads. You know, really nice.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to continue. By the way, Green Lives Matter. Thank you very much. $5 right there. Green Lives Matter in our chat room. $5.
Like Martians.
Like Martians. Life? Yeah. Yeah. Green men. Little green men. Well, I got a question for you. What is the moon made out of?
Cheese.
There you go. Thank you. I said that to someone. They had never heard it before. They looked at me like I had 10 heads. The moon is made out of cheese, everybody. I want you to know that. For all things Paul, obviously, go to Therat.com. He covers all of this stuff. One of my favorite websites to go to every single day, I'm on Therat.com. That's the first site I go to every morning. No nonsense tech. That's what I call it. You get the stories out. You don't have a bunch of nonsense happening. I don't need to read about vacuum cleaner reviews on there, which maybe I want to.
Right.
Some of these other sites.
Never say never, Andrew.
I'm not seeing. Are you going to start doing Fleshlight reviews and vibrator reviews next? Because that's where tech is headed, apparently.
Well, you know, that's where we've gone. Retirement. It's going to happen eventually.
You got to pay for college somehow for two kids.
Right.
Yeah. So something that Paul and I were talking about just on Skype today was some of the things that we started doing because we have some extra time on our hands. You know, listen, I go into Manhattan every single day, and now I'm not going to Manhattan every day. I'm essentially, I've trapped myself in my studio so I could get some work done. So for me, this is a very different way of working. For Paul, it's a little bit more semi-normal, but obviously everybody is kind of trapped in their homes. So I started coming up with projects to do, and I'm gonna explain to you guys, and I'll go into detail how I came to come into possession of like four, five Surface 3 and 4 devices.
Sure.
Okay. I have a whole bunch of these. None of them work. They worked at one point. They all have the same problem, which is bizarre to me. Every single one of these devices have the same problem. And that's that Windows is essentially corrupted through some update or something. And it was just, it would not function. I couldn't launch the start menu. I couldn't launch Explorer. Everything was failing. So I had to, you know, I tried to fix it, you know, like a normal human being, and it didn't work because I didn't want to lose what was on it. And I said, you know what, hell with it. So I just created a recovery disk and I started cleaning these things out. So I spent, you know, 3 days doing this. You know, it's a lot of devices. I started doing it at the same time. And I ran into a problem with a charger. I'm down to one charger. So right now I have all this. So I'm giving it out to, one, I'm giving one to my kids because I'm tired of them using my HP. which is a better, a newer laptop. Yep. But I'm also giving one to my father-in-law and stuff like that. But this was a project for me. It was to clean up a lot of the technology that I have and start auditing some of the hardware that I've accumulated, much like you. Listen, you're kind of in the same boat, right? Because you review these things and they sit there, or you buy them and it sits there. You've made a habit of giving these to people that need them, which is amazing. I just started doing that by just getting rid of tech, because we kind of become hoarders when it comes to this stuff, you know? It's a weird thing.
I will say this. Sorry, just to clarify that. She wasn't really my stepmother, but the woman who owned this house before us, we'll just call her my stepmother, was a hoarder. Is still a hoarder, and this house was full to the gills with crap. And the reason is she thought that she might need that stuff at some point. That's what hoarding is. It's like, you never know, I might need that, right? Stuff does pile up for me, and I suspect this is for you too. It's not so much hoarding as it is, I don't know, procrastination. Like, I don't ever think like I'm holding on to this because I'm going to need it. I know I'm never going to need it, you know? Like, it bothers me that it's there. And I think you're probably in that boat too, right? You're not really, like, a real hoarder is someone literally like, you know, you never know, I might need this stuff, you know? I don't want anyone else getting it.
Not with the computers.
I want other people to get it.
Not with the computers. I'm a little bit like that with wires.
Yeah. Wires?
Yeah, wires.
Okay.
I developed this weird paranoia. You're going to laugh when I tell you this. When Radio Shack closed. Okay? Because I had a Radio Shack down the block from me.
You're like, I need to duplicate a Radio Shack in my house because Radio Shack's gone. And what if I need like a realistic tape cassette?
Who doesn't need a USB to parallel port cable at this point? Who doesn't need it? Everybody needs that.
That's not hoarding. That's compulsive. Right? So I also have like a set of bins where I have like multiple Ethernet cables, adapters of every kind, USB to whatever. I mean, I guess maybe that is a form of hoarding. I guess I
don't know if I could even get this camera. I'll show you on the post show. I got a ottoman, okay, in my office. And in that ottoman, it just cables. And I have Ethernet to XLR cables. I have all these bizarre cables that I may use.
No, I do too. Yeah, no.
But most likely never. Like, I'll never use a FireWire cable ever again in my life. Until I found my zip drive.
Right.
And I found all these zip disks. So I'm like, I'm curious what's on here. It was FireWire.
So you have to get a FireWire cable. Then you're like, well, what am I going to plug this into? And then you need some kind of adapter or maybe even a card for a computer. Yeah, no, I've gone through that. But I mean, once you get that stuff off the zip
drive
or whatever.
You're fine. You never need it again.
You don't hold on to that.
So I repaired these computers. I'm keeping the Surfaces because they're good for the kids. And I feel like they're going like this one I have here. This is a Surface 4. Yeah. And it just doesn't charge anymore.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even know if this is a Surface 4. I don't know what this is. Yeah, 128 gig. I think this is Surface 4. This will not charge no matter what I'll do. So I'll probably dump in this, but I'll probably take it to my friend. He does the repair stuff, and then I'll just give it to somebody. I don't know. I haven't decided what's worth more to do. If I fix it for $100 and then give it away. But this is something I started working on where I'm repairing everything that's broken. I'm repairing every phone that I have. I'm wiping out and I am donating it to someone I know that could use it. That's my plan moving forward. I want to clean, like, right behind me. You probably can't see here. So on the second shelf here, I have about 45 hard drives. Some of them are stuff that I need. Like, it's the archives for all the shows, right? It's, you know, we've been doing the show since 2009. It's every show that I've ever done, raw format, original, right on that hard drive. Every now and then, I connect them to a hard drive reader, and I start seeing what's on there. But I'm like, why am I holding on to these hard drives? It makes no sense, right? Like, maybe I have, like, 200 gigs of stuff amongst four hard drives that I'll never use. They're not even SATA hard drives. They're, you know, IDE hard drives. So I did myself a favor, and I ordered a whole bunch of these. Okay? I have these drives. USB 3, Samsung, high read and write speed, 256 gig flash drives. I started loading stuff on these things. So now I actually filed away everything that I need. I have four of them done. I'm ordering more. They're like $20, whatever they were. And I'm just loading all these hard drives onto these little sticks. Obviously, if it's important, I'm doing redundancy. Or some I'm keeping on an SSD because I know that that's not really going to go bad compared to a mechanical part. But I started clearing all that out next. That's been my project, you know, as of last week. I started clearing out all these hard drives, and I'm drilling a hole in them and just dumping them in the trash. Should I continue doing this, or should I?
Yes. It should be your life's work.
It should be my...
No, I mean it. Like, this is so healthy and good to do.
I really, and I feel better. Like, I'm like, holy crap. Yeah. Like, I got to show you this on the post show. I'll do a little tour. How many of those do you have in your house? How many hard drives do you have sitting there?
Oh, I don't have hard drives anymore, but I did go through that. And I still have, I'll show you the bins I have and how I organize things. Cause I do something very similar, but, at one point, I don't know, maybe it was tied to when we were moving here. I don't remember the exact detail. Actually, who knows? Down in the cellar, I could have a box of hard drives.
Oh yeah, because you moved. I forgot. You got rid of a lot of clutter from that.
Oh yeah, and what I bought was it's in a little box. It's just like a SATA adapter with power to USB, and what it allows you to do is take what used to be an internal, you know, 5 1/4 inch hard drive or whatever, plug it into a USB port on a computer. And it powers up, you know, there's a power cable, but it powers up and then, you know, you can access it normally and you see what's on there. And if it's nothing that you want, you don't worry about it. If it is, you copy it and then you can wipe out the drive. And then that drive's just blank and you can dispose of it. I think we haven't done this since we moved, but back in Dedham, we used to, our dump would take electronic part, all kinds of electronics, screens, computers, whatever. And they would take hard drives and they would destroy them for you. So I know we did do that, but yeah, I did I did something very similar to you. I did one pass, and the pass that I did is what I call organizational, you do get rid of stuff, and I threw some stuff away. You can kind of see a little bit of the crap, the end of it here that goes that way. But that's stuff that I think people might find useful. So I like Chromecasts and
I actually threw out two of them. Two older Chromecasts.
I mean, you could sell some of the stuff or give it away, whatever. I don't care. But over in my bin area, right now, what it is organized. So I use baggies to organize different types of cables. Like I have a bin of things for like phones. So there's like lightning adapters for power, lightning adapters for audio. USB-C adapters for audio, USB-C adapters for power, you know, all the things, you know, each in its own bag, labeled and everything. But, you know, looking at it now, and I was thinking about this over the weekend too, it's like, man, I got like 3 or 4 Xbox controllers. I've got 3 or 4 USB Bluetooth keyboards. I've got 18 Ethernet cables maybe. I could cut a lot deeper, you know.
Yeah, how many laptops do you have right now?
So below here on the floor is a stack of laptops that I'm sending back to companies that lent them to me for a review. So there are 5 or 6 of those, and that will happen eventually. I mean, obviously no one's really going anywhere these days, but they're getting ready. I've wiped them out. They're ready to go. What you can't see in front of me next to those bins is I don't know what to call it. It's an organizational shelf, and there's probably, I hate to even admit this, there are possibly 20 laptops in this office right now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And more in the cellar, and including a lot in the cellar that are really old, like Windows 7, maybe Windows 8 devices of all kinds. And we gave away 9 or 12, I don't remember the number, laptops when my kids went to Jamaica. And what we found was that at least on 3, maybe 4 of them, the batteries had died. And
totally.
They weren't super old. I mean, 4 years old maybe. So I'm thinking like a lot of the crap I have in the basement, it might be unsalvageable. You could fix it, but like why would you? You know, that kind of thing. So I got to figure that out eventually, but... I did a pass in the basement. There's two sides of the basement where I had boxes of stuff, and the side that's just empty boxes. So it's like the box for this monitor, the box for my NUC, the box for my phone, the box for my Xbox, you know. I keep that stuff because, you know, you might want to sell it or give it away, and it'd be nice to give it to them with the box. You know, it's the best way to ship it for sure. But there were all these empty boxes down there for stuff that I had gotten rid of. Remember, I destroyed a screen. I destroyed multiple screens. I mean, I went through each box one by one. Is this thing still around? You know, and if it isn't, it went out in the trash and recycling. So, I mean, we do, you know, we've been doing a lot of that stuff.
It's healthy. This,
yeah.
So the other thing I did, you have a Fire TV, right?
Yes.
Have you jumped ship to the Fire TV from the Roku officially?
Or yeah,
are you?
Yep.
Okay. So this is something you're going to need. This is, we haven't done a tip of the week for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm posting a link in the chat. So if you have a Fire TV, this is something that you need. Let me see if I could change the camera.
What is that?
So this is a USB. It's a micro USB to USB. So I'll show you. It's essentially a dongle. Comes in a 2-pack. Yeah. So you have the USB end on this one, the female end on this one, one female end for micro USB or mini USB, and then here's the other end. This connects to your Fire TV. So the problem with the Fire TV sticks is that people run out of hard drive space on there, out of storage. But very easily on the Fire TV, you could just connect a USB stick.
So hold on a second.
Yeah.
What do you need storage for on the Fire TV?
For apps.
Oh.
It's only like 8 gigs, and I think you only have like 5 gigs of storage on there. That's off the funny. Bat. Yeah, it's very small.
I use the micro USB, whatever the USB connection is, to I have Ethernet connected to it.
Okay.
So it's, you know, like a fast, you know, faster or whatever. But I suppose that thing you're that would it's work dongle. With what you have, right? Because you could put it into
So
you could have the storage. So this thing actually supports external storage for apps?
It does. It does. Wow. So here's why. I download a lot of third-party applications that are not really in the Amazon store.
Okay.
Yes. Not that I'm pirating stuff, for example, but there are Android apps that are not available in the Fire TV store. So yeah, I have copies of those Android apps. There are whole tutorials on how you can do it. It's super easy now to be able to install these apps. You just need the downloader app and you're able to do it. But I also have a ton of other apps. Like I tried, the reason why I did this is because I got the DC universe because they have all the like the DC stuff on there. And when I went to install it, they said, you know, I'm running out of hard drive space. I'm like, how is that possible? I just got this thing. It's terribly small, the hard drive. So this dongle, which I believe there's more than this one, right? I just posted in the link. We'll have it in the show notes. This dongle, I connected a 128 gig hard drive to it, as flash drive to it, and I have an endless amount of apps I can install. You don't need to do 128 gigs. You could do 60.
It doesn't treat it like a separate drive. It just kind of adds to the storage or whatever.
It adds to the storage. It's an external storage. Yeah, but you could... but it'll automatically default into installing the apps to that drive.
Okay.
To that hard drive. You could choose. I mean, obviously, it says you want to install it to your local hard drive or external hard drive.
Interesting if it just had like a micro SD slot or something.
You know what? The I believe the Cube might have it, and the original one might have it. The original Fire TV. Okay. That's really the way to do it. I'm assuming they're going to add a micro SD eventually.
Honestly, the fact that you can do what you're doing at all is good, so that's fine. I mean,
yeah, they're probably going to do it. I'm curious when, but this has been a big project. I'm like, oh, you know what? This is pretty cool. So I'm exploring different apps. I have so much more time now. I can, which is the best part of this. Yeah, so I got two of these. I ordered one by mistake, one extra one. So I hooked up because it's a 2-pack. I put one on in my office. I put one in my living room. And then the other one, I'll install this one in my bedroom, you know, just to have another connection there. But, you know, I'm like, my God, this little stick is so powerful, the Fire TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really, they've done a great job with this. And this is my go-to platform. I like it way better than the Apple TV at this point. I'm not a big fan of Apple TV. They really haven't done much to evolve it. The controller, God forbid, you touch that thing if you're watching something.
I hate that thing.
Yeah, it ends up, you end up in a different universe, honestly.
They could, they could solve this problem so easily. But yeah, I the interface on the Fire TV is good. I kind of stick to the top left. I mean, we probably use 4 to 6 apps at most of the time. And, you know, that's the whole experience. It's you know, whatever they are, Hulu, yeah. Netflix, Amazon, actually, we don't have HBO now. We have Showtime temporarily. You know, it's just whatever, YouTube. I mean, it's, you know, all the classics. I don't know.
So, you know, something I'm using. Paul, let's wrap it up. You got time for a what to talk?
Yeah, sure.
We did an hour. Wow, that was a really fast hour we did. Guys, if you're watching this live, hang on tight. We're going to be back. We're doing what to talk now, right after the show. If you listen to the podcast, go to patreon.com/whatthetech. You can go there, fund us for each episode. I think as little as $1 per episode. And you get access to our what to talk segments where we kind of talk for the next 20 minutes about nonsense. And, you know, you guys help us out and we give you guys some extra content. Then we hang out with you guys. For all things Paul, go to therot.com. Paul, you should order this thing, and I'm curious if you can install on there.
What I am going to do is look and see where I'm at with storage, because I never even considered this. But I don't imagine installing a lot of apps. I don't know.
Let me see my Fire TV. Let me see what it says for storage internal. Okay, storage. I have 5.28 gigs are available internally. I have 400 megs left internally.
Well,
yeah, so really, it doesn't really give you a lot, and these apps are getting more and more bloated.
What does it come with? What's the, like 8 or something? Or
it comes with 8, and I think you're left with 5.5.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's how they do it. So,
well, I've already deleted the MLB TV app. I'm not going to need that this season. So,
listen, they may be back.
Yeah,
they may be back. Yeah, guys, we'll see you all next time. Take care.